Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to Neighborhood Church. My name is Chris. I am the lead pastor here. I'm actually technically the only pastor here, so I guess I can, if I'm the lead, I am the most important. I'm the only one, Hollis. So thank you for making your Sunday out with us. Yes, internet is working. Hello, wonderful internet. Which we say every morning. You wake up and say, hi, wonderful internet, thank you. So, some information. We usually have a five-minute break. There is no five-minute break today. I know. We're going to be okay. We can do hard things. So, at any point, if you need to go get more coffee, you can get coffee at any time that you'd like. Joanne Bates made the coffee this morning. Give a round of applause for Joanne. Come on. And if you... you're like, you know what? My life is just not complete. Like Sarah might think, I need more in my life. Right, Sarah? Yes, Chris. Thank you. And so, and you're like, I would like to volunteer. I'd like to help out. We would love to have you volunteer. You can help out in many different ways. You can help out downstairs with the kids if you pass a background check and do our training. Or, I have not said this to my dad, so don't bring it up, right? We're looking for more greeters as well. Denny and Ann, my parents have been the greeters, the only greeters for like 4 years, since COVID, really. So we're ready to expand. And that is not a result of your performance, Mom, all right? Just we're looking for more people to get involved as well if you'd like to help make coffee, which is actually really great. So if you'd like to do any of those things, talk to me. But I said all that because we don't have a five-minute break because today we're doing a little bit different of a service. So those of you who are more introverted or maybe have anxiety like myself, this might like make you want to leave. But you, I'm this. Everyone's like, "What time?" Well, we gotta go. But we're not gonna require it, right? So we don't. No one has to do it. But today we're gonna have a little bit of more of a. I'm going to do a brief presentation to get us going, and then we're going to open it up for people who want to share. Today is going to be one of those, what do we call it in the charismatic service? Where's my charismatic? Testimonies, thank you, right, testimony time, which is always an indication that the pastor was sick or lazy, all right? They're like, I don't want to do a message. I can promise you that's not why I did it, all right? I actually did the message, and I'm like, I think this would be better if other people shared their lived experiences instead of just always hearing my same five stories from junior high, all right? I thought we could expand beyond it. But we do have a couple announcements. The first is on Labor Day weekend, we do not have a service in the building. It's Pride Festival in Duluth and Superior, and there's an ecumenical service at the UU. If you guys know Unitarian Universalists or Unitarian Universalist. Thank you. UU, all right? I only call them UU, so I never know. You're kind of safe that way. It's a great church. It's up between UMD and St. Glasgow. It starts at 9:30, and it's going to be a bunch of other progressive churches. If you've never gone to the ecumenical service, it is it's wonderful. I really like it. And if you've known me longer than 10 minutes, I'm a high feeler. I cry every time I am there, right? Because it's a different expression of spirituality or a different, expression of how to do church, right? It's great. And the UU, it feels like the Wild West at times. It's great. There's singing, there's cymbals at times, there's folk singing, there's everything. It's great. So if you want to come Labor Day weekend, then we have, I wrote it down so I have the right date. Yes, here we go. We have baptisms, September 28th. And if you've wanted to get baptized or you have someone in your life, like one of your children, your offspring, and they want to get baptized, it's September 28th. Right now, Hunter loves when I highlight them, right? Hunter is going to be getting baptized that weekend. And because Hunter is my favorite person in this church, easily, all right, we are doing it. We had an option to do it in Duluth, in the St. Louis River, which is great. Or we can go to Carlton, to Chubb Lake. Guess what I chose? Chubb Lake. So we're going to Chubb Lake on September 28th at 11 a.m., and that's our entire service. We're going to be there. And say again, Dana? Oh, I thought you were correcting me. Like, that's not true. I'm like, whoa. All right. So, yes, September 28th, The Vikings play at 8:30. That's why we're starting at 11, so that we can miss the last 15 minutes of the game, because you don't need that in your life anymore, right? We can do better and be better. So, but we're inviting the whole church, and it's going to be a celebration, and then we're going to have lunch after. It's going to be great. So the last Sunday in September. Now, on to, before we get to the testimonial times, it's gonna be good, right? So today we're talking about Psalm 120, right here, I got it. Psalm 126, I believe. And we're in a series on Psalms, because Psalms is meant to be meditated on, maybe read out loud into like a community or a family or a church. It's meant to be a form of prayer. And today's is a banger. It is so incredibly good. Psalm 126 still is read after like important holidays where there's a dinner. And at the end of the dinner, like the final blessing would be Psalm 126. And you're going to kind of realize why. And it's such a wise, wise psalm. And it goes like this, and I'm going to talk briefly on it to give us the context of what we're going to be sharing on. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our months were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the streams of Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return the songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. It sounds really positive, and it is a very positive. It's meant to be celebratory, but the way the celebration comes of there was a season of tears, of crying, of grief, of prayers, of expectation of what's to come. And neither are a threat to one another. This is when they say that there is like they're filled with these shouts of joys. In verse 1, it says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. It's this idea of as they're walking into this promise that generations have dreamt about, have prayed about, have hoped for, have wished for, they're saying, we are living it. We are embodying, we are the experience of all the work of the people in exile, in pain and grief and wonder and doubt of where is God when we need him. They're saying we are living the dream. And they talk about how there is these tears, which were like investments. These tears were prayers. These tears were these seeds that went in from their body, from their experience, from their culture, from their people, from their history, from their grandparents, that is soaking into what they're wearing, soaking into the ground as a way of investing into what is to come. That sometimes the best prayer is crying. Is there any high feelers out there? Am I alone? Thank you. All right. We are strong people, right? And strong meaning we cry a lot, right? That's right. You have to have Kleenex in your pocket, right? Just in case, right? Because when you feel something, when you experience something, your body's having a reaction. You're responding to the joy. You're responding to the grief. You're responding to the Hallmark movie that you love, all right? And you know the plot. It never changes. And you still cry because it feels good because you're a human, right? Those experiences is your body being present with a future reality, regardless of what it might be, with the hope and the expectation of maybe something better or something complete or something more is to come. But if you've ever been in those places of boredom, numbness, maybe depression, anxiety, grief, loss, you're in this, like, you feel like you're just in this continual in-between place, it feels like your tears, it feels like your feelings, it feels like who you are might be a threat to the future reality. And here the psalmist says, like, all the tears, all the grief, all the things we've endured was an investment into the future. And how many times have you felt like, I will be lovable when? I'll really be included into this group of peers. I'll be finally recognized. I'll finally be believed if I, when I, right? There's always this more. There's always this expectation. I am a better human, or I'm a real human, or I'm a good husband, or I'm a good partner. I'm a good little activist. I'm a whatever we put our value on, there's always something a little bit more. We're saying that is when I'll be loved by God. If you were raised like a little evangelical like me, it was always, Chris, you just got to let go and let God. We need more of Jesus and less of you. And as like a, I don't know, I feel like from like 14 to 32, quite the window, it always felt like, how much more do I have to let go of myself in order to be loved by God? How much more do I have to tamper down the real me or the things I feel are really true to me or who I really am? Is that at an expense of God loving me? Do I have to be something different in order to be loved or to be really loved by God? And the truth is, no. This psalmist is saying, the only way to move forward is today. That these were tears of investment. These were tears of experiencing something real, and they were prayers. Sometimes prayers don't have to be as articulated, you know, fold your hands, close your eyes. Or maybe you were like the rebel kid, right? And you like pretend to close your eyes, but you really had them open just enough so you could see who's like really praying, who wasn't, right? And maybe you were the sibling that called out like, Johnny's not closing their eyes, right? Like sometimes, not sometimes, prayer is just when we are conscious and we're aware of where we're at in relation to one another, to the earth, and to whatever we call love or what we call God. That is our prayer is being awake. And so these prayers are saying, this is where I'm at, and I'm still longing for something more. And this pain, this grief, this loss doesn't get to define my future realities. Because the truth is, we all have desired outcomes, right? Like if we said, all right, what is it that you really want in life? What is it that you are really hoping for? What would make you feel like really, really alive? We, most of us, right, maybe not all of us, might be able to articulate to some degree of what it is that we want. And how much control do you have over that? Right? Some things, you might have some. But in reality, we don't have as much control as we always think. And, like, if you went back 10 years from now, how old am I? I am 44. Oh, man. Right? 34 years old. We 10 years ago, we were just getting ready to plant this church. This feels wild. I did not plan this, right? 10 years ago, we were just getting ready to plant this church, and Sarah and I and Christy were, right? No, we were helping, but there was another person leading it. We were ordering all the stuff for our kids' program. Dietrich was getting ready. We had a dually truck that we had to pull a trailer back and forth. Coming this November, we're going to have our 10-year anniversary celebration. It's going to be wild. But 34-year-old Chris was super excited about what was to come, right? And if I would have told, hey, Chris, in 10 years, here's a snapshot of what church is going to be like. And here's, like, if you would have shown me just our website, right? I'd been like, what happened to us, right? Like, what kind of church are we? Because 10 years old, Chris doesn't have the pain, the trauma, the joy, the learning, the expansion, the liberation, the freedom that I feel like I experience now. And the things that happened 10 years ago shaped me to who I am today. But every along that journey, there was hard, hard, hard things I had to carry and learn, put down and pick up. Like, we can feel what we need to feel. And we can move forward, but we don't always know what forward looks like. Meaning, we can't always be tied to the outcome, right? There's things that we hope for, and are we going to exactly get what we want? Probably not always. And can we be okay with that? Can we trust that maybe the things that we're hoping for might not always land? There might be something more. There might be something wider. There might be something healthier that we couldn't dream of when we are planning for that. And there's this idea, this mantra, right? And you've heard it before, of one day at a time. This is a mantra that applies to everybody in all walks of life, right? Of today, the only thing I control is right here and right now, this breath, this moment. And I sure would like to control what's happening with my adult kid, right? If you've had an adult kid, I'm brand new to the adult kid world, and there's things that he does. I'm like, man, I sure do have a plan for your life. And if you followed it, right, it'd make my life a lot easier. Really, that's what it's about. There's things I want for him because then I could sleep better at night. And when he talks about doing X, Y, and Z with his life, and I'm going to go do this, and I'm like, yeah, of course you are. Sure you are, right? I'm partially lying, but I'm lying to be a good parent, right? Like, all I can control is that today I love my son Cole. I love him more than anything in the world. And whatever he decides to do is going to cause me joy or pain. I am not in control. One day at a time. Maybe there's dreams you have about your health, your mental health, your marriage, your relationships, your work life, your finances, your retirement, your you want to have like as much fun as you can on the weekend. Whatever it might be, there's things that we think, oh, this is what the good life is going to be. And the truth is it could be. You can't control it. You can go one day at a time. And that's all you have. And this prayer is saying, one day we're standing in these fulfilled promises that people before us have laid this trail of tears, of joy, of celebrations, and everything in between as a prayer, and we are living it. We are embodying it. And what's to come tomorrow? We still don't know. But our prayers is us being awake. So here's my invitation. I'm going to invite anyone who wants to come up and share. And what we're not doing, right, Dietrich, is we're not going to give a dissertation. All right, this will not be a 25-minute explanation of how you came to where you are. We're looking for to come up and share briefly about where you came from. What were those tears? What were those laughters? What were the things that you were currently or previously walking through that is informing and leading to who you want to be? Like today, maybe who you want to be tomorrow, who you want to be in 6 months, whatever it might be, but as a way of confessing, as a way of testifying, as a way of sharing with one another what I'm experiencing today in my body or in my emotions or in my spirit is helping, and maybe not always, but this is where I'm moving. And sometimes saying that out loud, on a microphone especially, can be really therapeutic for oneself, but also for everyone else. That part of your story is our story. There's elements of what you shared that will be true and awaken things in us or make you feel more normal, right? Accepted, included, believed. Wally can share too. It's totally okay. You're like, I had a story for you. So whenever we do this, we haven't done this for a long time, it's always awkward for the first person to start because they're like, someone else needs to go. Someone else's story is more important. And I'm going to say that there is a camera up here. And if there's a reason why you don't want to be on camera, we are not going to ask why, right? All you have to do is, actually, when people come up, I'm going to move the camera off so no one will be on camera. Your voice will be on the internet for a little bit of time. And so you can say your name if you feel comfortable. If you don't want to say your name, you don't have to. But again, if someone would like to come up and share about where you have come from and your dreams of where you want to end up, you can do that. I'm going to put a little bit of music on until someone wants to come up and share. And if no one shares, it's totally fine. It just means we had the shortest church service of all time. All right. And no one laughs at that. Right. Everyone's like, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to put music on, and feel free to come up at any time. My dad said I could just turn it on him and see his response to people sharing. All right. Is there anyone who wants to share? I know it's not you. Don't worry. When people move away from the seats, I take that as I'm not going to pick anyone. Oh, my God. That would be the best pastor trick of all time. Is there anyone who'd like to share? You're going to try? All right. Give a round of applause for the first person to speak.
The Kleenex. Have it on hand, Hunter. No. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I sobered up when I was 20 years old. I came from a family where there was generations of alcoholism. And when I sobered up, I had to come to a place to move away from my family. Desperately trying to get my family to come into this recovery with me. And I had to make a decision for my own well-being at 20 to trust these strangers I was to meet in AA and to step away from the role I had in my family. I had to do that two more times with the man I married, the family I formed, with one son. And again, alcohol and the family disease raised its head in my family. And I had to make a decision for my own health and also to be the best I can as an example for them if they wanted to change. The hardest one was my adult son the last few years. But I know that the place I was at rescuing, the place I was at trying to drag him along with me, I believe prolonged what has gone on. And that, like me at 20 years old, he's going to need to come to a place of surrender through what's real hard to watch as parents, painful outcomes of decisions made if he's going to grow. And so the last few years, thank you, you've been a big part of helping me through this. It's been hard. It's been hard. Feel selfish sometimes, like I should step back in there and rescue them. And I have a decision even to make this afternoon about that, about a phone call and returning it or not. And what I've done is pray about those decisions, pause and not react, and take time to think about, first of all, I never used to ask this question, what's best for me and my health and my recovery, and then what's best for them. And when I started asking those questions and pausing day by day, I make those decisions about where to step in, where to be supportive, and where I need to step back and let God take care of it. Wow, I can't believe I was able to say that. Okay.
Thank you, Dana. Is there anyone else who would like to share? You can just come on up. What if you raise your hand and I said, no, Hunter, not today?
Absolutely not me. Because I don't. Okay, so I'm going to start out by saying I have a little bit of a stutter, so just be patient a little bit. Thank you. That's all I got. No, I'm kidding. So I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, and we only had like one major church that all my friends went to. So I did that for like, I don't know, I don't remember it, I was so little, but it was in a Lutheran church. And I remember, the only part of it I remember is the Luther Point Bible Camp we went to. We went on a canoeing trip for like 4 days down a river and just camped on the side on the way down. And I was like, that was fun. So I moved up here from the small town. I moved to the Twin Cities. I went to high school there. It was horrible. I felt like, or maybe I was, the only openly queer person out at the time at the school. And that made it very hard because I'm not going to get into that, but it was hard. It was hard, I'll say that. And then I turned 18, and then I graduated, I think, a little late because I was in and out of mental hospital, so I wasn't able to attend school. And I'm lucky I had parents who really adored me because they basically finished high school. They signed me up for online high school. I did that for a little bit, and my mom finished school for me. Or basically. And then I started developing these really bad mental health conditions that has taken many, though still not fully, like, under control, but I have a good team of, like, doctors and psychiatrists and all you. And then I moved up to the Iron Range for a little bit to babysit my best friend's kid, so him and his girlfriend could go to work and support a child. So I decided to babysit when she was only like a couple months old. And then I was looking at a couple of friends online I was talking to about how they attended church. And like they made it seem all like, I don't know, like they didn't make it sound fun or like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but... And then I did some searching around online. I went to different churches in this area because I was moving back. And then I sent a message to this one. And then me and Chris met. And then now I'm here. I am doing better in life. I am kind of like how Dana said, the one question is what's good for myself. I don't ask that. I haven't reached that point yet. I'm still asking, like, what's good for you? Because if you feel good, then I will feel good. So then, like, I'm just trying to figure out myself now. I'm just trying to figure out really who I am because I have adaptive personality disorder, so I adapt onto others who are around me. I do not know who I am, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. And I'm hoping that people in general can help. I know that's a lot to ask or, like, don't know how to help, but just, like, be kind, my friends, everything. That's all I got.
Thank you, Hunter. Thank you, Hunter. Is there anyone else who would like to share? You can share from, would you like the microphone or would you like not? You can share from the chair. It's okay. Would you like the mic? Okay.
I'm an extreme introvert, so I basically blacked out once he made that announcement at the beginning. And I've been, like, amping myself up ever since. My name is Carrie, and I guess my story is I grew up Catholic, and I guess ever since I was old enough to kind of actually start comprehending the messages that were being told to me, I just kind of, like, was really confused by it all. Anyway, so I always found myself leaving church more confused and angry. And so I've been looking for this for a really long time. And that's all I'm going to say.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I know that was brave. Is there anyone else who'd like to share? Okay. Then I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. So God, we love you, and I thank you for the voices that were shared. I thank you for the voices that we all felt and we thought and we expressed to ourselves and to you and to others. And all of it is sacred and all of it belongs. That our journey is filled with incredible laughter and tears and separation, pain and loneliness, and journey and new discoveries. A journey of letting things go to make more capacity room to pick new things up. And so I thank you for the scars that we carry that tell a story of where we came from and informing us of who we're becoming. Like in Psalm 26, that Our tears can be prayers. They can be seeds that can grow and develop into new discoveries and new embodiments and new experiences. And how it says that there's places of joy that come like a wild river, like a flash flood. And so we just pray that, God, that we welcome that we'd be surprised by grace, we'd be surprised by joy, we'd be surprised by contentment. And that this body and this breath and this space, scars and all, is enough. So as we pray for what is to come, we also receive the gift that is us in this space. So Holy Spirit, will you come and bring life and peace and joy and contentment? And we love you. Amen. All right, friends. Well, I'm going to put some music on. If you'd like to talk and you'd like to maybe share like your testimony to someone else or to me, I would love the opportunity to hear that with you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and you're welcome for a half hour church service.